Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Grace is clearly going through some things. Gamby, is he dead? Is he not? We don't know. And what in the twilight is going on over in South Freeland? You guys stay tuned. We have so much to talk about.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
The rope still I can't let go.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, you do. I was like, I'm not even gonna try to sing. I'm not even gonna try to compete with that.
I belong to you.
We're at the end of the road for our boy Gamby, or are we? What is up, guys? We are back for another episode of the Black Lightning After Show. I am your girl, Drew Jones, and I cannot do this without my favorite person.
Hey, y'all, it's Portia. Welcome back. I know y'all missed us last week, but it's okay, because we back.
Because we back. We missed y'all. You guys, we have so much to break down in this episode. So much so that we had to switch up the format, and we're going to be breaking down Gamdar first. But first, let's talk about our initial reactions to this episode, because a lot went down. Ooh, how
my
are
initial
you
reactions every time I even think about initial reactions, like, my skin crawls. Like, this episode was super creepy. Like, it made me itch so many times. People's skin was doing different stuff. It's just, I'm itching thinking about it. Like, I get really squeamish. Like, I didn't want to watch it. I kept closing my eyes on so many parts. I'm itching.
This part of the season is like my favorite part of Annie's season, because this is where you start getting the meat of the season and seeing where everything's gonna go. And so I don't think Gamby's dead, first of all, but we'll talk about that. But I feel like this is setting up to be something really crazy, and I'm very interested to know what is going on with South Freeland. With that being said, obviously everyone had the same OMB on moment, but if you didn't, we'll talk about them later on in the show. But this might be my OMB on moment. I don't know, but is Gamby dead? Is Gamby not dead? Portia, let's hop into Gamdar.
Okay, guys. So as you all know, Gamdar is when we explain all things Gamby and we try to see what he up to next. And for this week, it was a lot for me. I was going through a lot because we have this Gamdar segment. And we have this Gamdar segment because I didn't like him so much last season. You know, and so now we come up into this season and, you know, I'm welcoming him into my heart more. I've always loved him, just hadn't liked him. And then he just died on the first scene of the show. And I'm just like, oh my God, all that bad stuff I talked about him last season. I felt so bad. But then I had to think about it like, hold on. His car was programmed to let him know when the blow up was about to happen. Mm-hmm. So I just believe he's just so strategic in the way that he does things. And just like Jefferson said, he has contingency plans for his contingency plans. Like, it's no way that he was going to let the car, knowing that it would blow up the way that it did, and he already didn't have some type of protection for that, or, you know, some type of thing to happen to where he protected himself from that. I just don't see why he would just blow up and it'd be the end of it.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's dead, because this is very, for the Marvel fans out there, I know this is DC, but for the Marvel fans out there, this is very reminiscent of Nick Fury, he's like the head of, you know, he watches over the Avengers. But he played by Samuel Jackson. Mm-hmm. He kind of had a similar car setup where it was telling him the same things, and he was able to fake his own death. And so I kind of feel like that was sort of what we're having here.
For me, I have always thought, no matter what, no body, no death. Like, if y'all can't show me a dead body, then this man not dead.
I want the receipts.
I need receipts. I need proof that this person is dead, dead. Because you're not about to play me and say somebody dead when they, you know, like, no. Because I need to understand what's going on here. And I believe that he just trying to lay low because he saw that the public saw him, quote unquote, fake die. And he needed to actually get out of sight of whoever was chasing him. Mm-hmm. And so that they could make believe, well, so that he could make them believe that your problem is handled when, nah, I'm about to find out who y'all are, what y'all got going on, and come after y'all 10 times harder because y'all trying to take me out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he doing.
You guys in the chat, in the comments, Twitter, let us know. Do you think Gambi is dead or not? I'm going to put a poll in my Instagram story and we will figure it out, man. Let us know what you guys think. But this whole episode is kind of the aftermath of Gambi's alleged death, and someone who is refusing to believe that Gambi is dead is our boy Jefferson.
Yeah.
Henderson even shows up, you know, to the Jefferson's house to let him know.
To break the news.
And he's very reluctant to kind of come to terms with it, so much so that he gets a little, like, jumpy. I mean, we see Jefferson drunk at a bar. Like, that's not our boy.
Yeah, he a little stressed out. You know, grief has no specific action.
That is true.
There is no telling what you're going to do, you know, with grief. And we see each of them handle their grief in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he doesn't believe that Gambi is gone, he has no choice but to think that as of now until he finds out in something else, until he gets the answer to the question that he has, you know, brewing in his mind. This is the, I guess, reality outcome that he has to live with for the moment. So now he's in a grieving stage that he probably don't even need to be in because he was right from the get-go. Like, this man ain't dead until he did, until I see that he did. And sometimes when people are dead in your life, you don't know how to, I guess, navigate those emotions. So you revert to drinking and substance abuse and things of that nature, you know, cussing out land because of the pocket watch, acting up, running up on people, cutting off the lights in people's bars because you're trying to figure out what's up with your people, you know.
But, you know, we did get to see one of my favorite, like, you know, C characters, Two Bits, which I like to say Two Bits in the same voice that 2 Chainz says his name in songs. You know how he's like, 2 Chainz, 2 Bits.
I'm not about to play with you.
You know, I'm light skinned. I can't help it. But we get 2 Bits and we find out that he, you know, he still kind of has his ear to the street. And this wasn't an accident. This was, in fact, a hit. And it wasn't like some, you know, local crooks. Like, this is what seems to be like ASA coming after him. And so it hits Jefferson hard. And we finally see Jefferson kind of take out the pocket watch that Lynn did give him, that was Gambi's. Mm-hmm. And we see Jefferson break down.
Yeah.
And it was that hurt.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cress Williams, who plays Jefferson Pierce, because that was like, that was some emotion.
It was real emotional, but I couldn't go there because I'm like, this man ain't dead. It, yeah. Like, I couldn't go there with him, but I could feel sorry for the state that he's in right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't take my brain to, you know, when Anissa first cried in the beginning, when they were sitting down having that conversation, that's when I got real emotional. But when Jefferson said what he said, that's when it clicked for me too. Like, nah, this fool ain't dead. Like, pull it together. You good. So at that moment, when they have this scene inside of Gambi's place, it was like, I'm not going to get emotional with you, but I feel sorry because you got to have those type of emotions. But it was really a heartfelt moment. And it was like, it was like a switch role type of thing. Usually the father is the one comforting the daughter who's maybe going through a loss or a breakup or something like that. But it was a turnaround and Anissa was comforting him. And it just shows a lot of her strength. And it just shows that he's able to be vulnerable, you know, with his children, because we see that a lot where he is the alpha male and what he say go and everything is all about Jeff. But now it comes down to a very vulnerable moment, and he has a choice: either tighten up and seem strong in front of her because you want to be this big alpha male, or you let her know like you really not doing too good, and you know you need her to be comforting you in this moment. And he chose that route, and I'm just grateful that he did that.
I am too. And someone else that I'm grateful for is you guys. We love you guys, and we love chatting with you guys. And Portia is going to let y'all know how we can keep this love fest going.
Yes, we got a lot to tell y'all. Okay, first let's start out with our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network, and I mean no network, that works harder to serve you as television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made just for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. Just hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thanks for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. And y'all the best fans ever. Thank you.
Y'all really are. You know, y'all know we rock with y'all heavy.
Yeah, and long way, strong way.
Yeah. And you know, listen, so we're not telling you subscribe just for fun. We're telling you because there's a lot of shows that we cover here on AfterBuzz TV. And if you're like me and if you're like Portia, you like variety in your shows.
Variety. Like, yes. I'm not even going to hold y'all up. Some of these shows are just absolutely amazing, and they have really great storylines, and they even help you with certain parts of your life. Like, if I could just, you know, do a little side promo real quick. I'm on the 911 after show. So on Mondays at 7, y'all can watch me on 911. Hey. But yeah, that show, you know, we talk about a lot of life situations. We have full therapy sessions on there. So you, all the shows, check them all out, okay? Because you never know what you might need when you might need to see it.
I be watching shows that I'm not even on, you know?
Yeah.
I just like them. They're good.
I just like them.
Yeah. So we rock with y'all. Thank you for continuing to rock with us. Shout out to Nicholas Kelly, Black Magic 99, Christina Lauren, Ivan Soto. You guys, we love you all. Thanks for being in the chat always. Let us kind of just, she wasn't a super big part of the episode, but let's go ahead and just touch on her a little bit. Our girl Jen.
Oh, I thought she was about to say Grace.
No.
Oh, geez.
We're going to get to her. But our girl Jen is, you know, putting, our girl Jen is kind of going through it still a little bit. You know, the Gambi thing obviously is hard on her. Because she just takes it as fact, which is how a lot of everyone but Jefferson basically is taking it. But she's still kind of messing with Khalil. What are we thinking? It's starting to get a little Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I don't think it's Romeo and Juliet. I don't think it's that, because, you know, they gotta kill themselves in order for their love to be made manifest. I think this is more so of a
Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to die.
You seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah.
It's more so one of them situations. It's more so one of them situations.
Comparison.
But yeah, so Jen right now, I believe she just needs sympathy. She just needs sympathy. She cussing out the computer. She cussing out the online teacher. Teacher is like everything. She don't know where her head is with Khalil. But one thing she is very honest about all of her feelings. And she let us into her little, you know, inside backstory of why she was sitting in the hallway. Because remember, I questioned that, like, what they doing meeting up at the school? What's that about? But just like you stated, she misses Garfield. She misses being the queen of Garfield. She misses being at school, her peers, because that was the only place that she had as an outlet to you know, allow her to be herself. And now she feels like she's in a cage and she don't know what to do. And if Khalil is the only person who know how to pop up and see her when he gonna see her, then that's who she gonna flock to automatically.
I feel for Jen. I feel like Jen is having some hardcore growing pains. Obviously they're a little more extreme than what most of us go through, but like I'm sure everyone can remember that moment where you start being like, damn, the things that I used to think were a big deal weren't that big of a deal. And I kind of missed that those were the biggest problems I had in life. And now I have real problems.
Now I got real problems.
And they are rough. But yeah, you know, they didn't do too crazy on Jim, but I'm glad. because we had so much content, we didn't want a content overload.
Yeah.
So we got a little cute sprinkle of Jen. Let's move on.
I love Jen.
Let's move on to Lynn, because she is going through it.
Oh.
So Lynn, I'm kind of frustrated with Lynn, to be honest. Only because she figures out this formula to save the pod kids. She doesn't want to test it because she fears of accidentally killing them. Understandable. She wants to save everyone. But she trusts Dr. Jace, who says, let's not treat them as individuals. Let's treat them as a unit. And basically, Lynn just kind of falls for it. Like, she just, it felt like the sales pitch was a little too aha moment-y. Like, I don't know. I'm a very suspicious person. Maybe it's the Aquarius in me. But I just feel like there should have been more questions before we just initiated this. And now we are down 14 kids.
It got to be the Aquarius in us. Because I was sitting there like, well, excuse me, you just going to let her give you these calculations.
Right.
And so you just little play and you just with it. Like,
after she was me. After she was content about them dying. Like, and yeah. So then.
And my thing is, you know this woman is evil. Mm-hmm. You know this woman ain't about nothing. You know she don't care about what happened to them as long as she doesn't experiment. If someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Woo!
The first time. You already knew who this woman was. You knew not to trust homegirl. Why are you even still working with her and hadn't sent her back to the cage? Anyway, I don't know. So she already knew. So I just feel like she set herself up for that trap. Like, you walked into it.
Yeah.
Voluntarily.
Nicholas Kelly in the chat says, this episode basically made me want to snap on Lynn. I mean, girl, you should have known by now that Dr. Helga Jace was trying to sell you one and you got played hook, line, and sinker. And I cannot agree more.
Yeah.
Like, you fell into that too quick. And, like, it was heartbreaking to see her, how she reacted to all the pod babies starting to die. Because it's like,
I knew that was going to happen, though. I'm sitting here like, as soon as she pressed go, they gone. I thought they all was going to die. I thought they was going to blow up or start popping up out of there, killing niggas. Like, I'm sorry. Ooh.
It's okay.
Yeah, but.
You get passionate. It's okay. But, like, I think I have this feeling that only one pod baby's going to make it. I don't know if that's just me. I feel like only one's going to make it, and they're going to somehow have an effect, whether it's
one
this
out of
season or
30 that they started with.
Mm-hmm. Because now we're down to 14.
Yeah.
Or, I don't want to say this for predictions because it's not necessarily a prediction.
But these 14 are stabilized. Remember, she was like, you know, thank you because we say 14, biatch.
For now, you know, but maybe there's something that comes up that, like, kind of, you know, I don't know. I think either the 14, I could see going to 7. I think 7 could go to, I guess, 4 or 3. You know, you can't divide it evenly because it's an odd number. But but I also could see maybe those kids becoming the outsiders. I don't know. Because, I mean, we got some outsiders stuff happening this episode. So, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they'll go down. We'll see. But Lynn is just... But I also did feel for Lynn because she's just going through a lot, you know? She's got Jen, all her noise and her powers, and then now she's trying to comfort Jefferson, who's just snapping on her.
Yeah.
For just trying to help. And now she feels responsible for these.
And she is responsible.
She is.
She's dang well responsible because you knew this woman was up to no good.
It's so frustrating. I mean, this woman's literally in jail for, like, killing,
for making people's feet fall off.
Yeah. Like,
like,
she's out here really messing people up.
And you think this is about to be all willy-nilly. You thought this was going to be a thing that could have been something. Like, I don't know what little homeboy detective done put in her head about this woman when he told her to go ask her to work with her. I don't know what they had going on, but obviously he had the 14 in mind, clearly, because he knew that she wasn't going to save them all.
Mm-hmm. And Nicholas Kelly in the chat brought up a good point. What happened to Wendy or Issa? What are they doing right now?
You know, Wendy went back into the...
But did she make it?
Went back into the pod. We don't know.
She make it through the pod?
We don't know.
What's our boy Issa doing?
We seen the first girl with the curly hair, dark skin. She died. Then it was another dark skin guy died. I don't know what Issa doing, but he wasn't going to them pods. He like, y'all got me messed up. I'm out.
Yeah. So is he just out here suffering? Like, what's happening? We need answers, Black Lightning. We need answers. Someone else who just needs a lot of things. She's just be needing is our girl, Anissa. And she decides to
get a job.
She decides to go help out at the clinic. And I, for some reason, felt like the pastor maybe was kind of looking at her like,
he know what's up.
Yeah.
Like he know that's her.
Or that it's sus. And like, this is what gets on my nerves about Anissa sometimes, is she's almost too much in plain sight.
She's transparent.
Yeah. Between like her, like Anissa and then Thunder. And it gets a little frustrating for me, because it's almost like, because she's very cocky. And so I feel like she's gonna trip up eventually. Even like her wanting to go when Gambie died, air quotes, even her wanting to go get her suit and like handle it. And Jefferson was like, and then what? Like, what do we do? What is there to go do?
Right, because who you going
to
be?
Yeah, where are you throwing fist at? Because, like, you tell me what you think we're supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah.
So that really frustrated me. But she's working at the clinic now, and she meets a young couple, the guy, Deacon.
Anaya and Deacon.
They are expecting their first child, and Deacon seems very on edge, and we're trying to figure out why. Mm-hmm. And we see him later in the episode, and he just kind of like storms in and passes out and dies, basically. And he has all these holes in his face, looking all nasty and whatnot. And so he creepy. Starts oozing out like this weird aluminum, silvery
gooid.
Ugh.
It was so nasty. It was so creepy. Everything Anissa dealt with was creepy today.
Yeah, except she went and got hers, honey, with Miss Grace.
Yeah.
She rolled up in there. I'm a little nervous. I don't know. I'm nervous about the Grace and Anissa thing, because I really want them to
Before we get on Grace, okay. I just really, even though, you know, she takes her initiative to the extreme, and she's very solution driven with her passion, and she wants to fight at every single solution. That's her answer. Mm-hmm. I just appreciate her for not beating up Deacon in the first doctor's office session, because she looked at him like, boy, who you think you talking to? Because he basically like, shut up and do your job. But I did want to just throw in there that this whole situation with Anaya being a young girl who's pregnant and with Anissa, that was a very beautiful moment, because I have a little sister named Anaya who's pregnant, literally 38 weeks too. Like, it's just, that's it so was just cute. Like, oh my God. Like, her name is Anaya and she's about to have a baby. And so it's just like, that resonated personally with me. Everything on this show be resonating personally with me. Mm-hmm. But that just touched me so deeply. And the kind of, you know, thought and care and encouragement that she gave to them was just in reference to her parents and how she was raised. And she's just basically like, you know, the greatest parents are scared and have those same kind of questions. And I believe her encouragement was to show in the back of her mind, like, no matter how much she get mad at Jeff, or no matter how much she do the opposite of what Lynn say, she really holds her parents to a high esteem, and they did a good job raising her. I just need her to get it together in some areas.
I need her to.
Especially this love life. Because why do you think it's okay to take your grief and go sleep with somebody and it just be that? Like,
because it's not fair to Grace at all.
It's not. It's like, that's not what you do to people.
Roller coaster. But we did get to find, I mean, we kind of know now, because we were speculating last season, because Grace is a character in the actual comics. She's not something just for the show. We do see her kind of struggle with some powers when she gets all hyped up.
That wasn't power. That was creepy. I didn't know what that. Her skin start blotting and turning different colors and moving around. It was like, I was itching so bad. Like, oh my God, what am I watching?
Well, it started kind of looking like leopard print-esque. And like, in some versions of the comic, that's kind of what Grace, mind you, Grace in the comics is 7 foot and 230 pounds. Yeah, because she's a half Amazonian.
Oh.
So obviously our Grace on the show is much smaller. We had Chantel Twee in the studios last season, and yeah. she's a very small, adorable girl. So the sizing is not quite the same, but I definitely think it is alluding to her being, her, you know, being like her character in the comics, because she kind of alludes to her family, saying she doesn't have the closest relationship with her family. And in the comics, she grew up in a bunch of different foster homes. You know, she...
Yeah, her family wasn't there.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of...
So if your family isn't there for you, then you deal with abandonment issues, and your abandonment issues make you build borders and walls around your heart. So when someone comes in and break one of those borders or walls down, you automatically let them in. And when you let them in, you expect them to stay there. But then when they leave out mm-hmm. of that place that you let them into, it creates a whole nother open wound that was supposed to be filled with your love or with whatever relationship that you guys had. So I completely understand where she came from when she was like, you can't just walk out of my life. You either here for real, or you not. Because abandonment issues, it ain't nothing to play with. Like yeah. neglection, rejection, abandonment, all of those different feelings, those are nothing to play with. Like, because they, you know, tap into your identity, because you're like, who am I that people keep leaving me? Or who am I that nobody wants me or wants to be with me? And then now you have this identity crisis where you're struggling to find out who you are because of the way people are treating you, or if they're there, or if they're not. Like, your presence in any relationship is powerful to somebody. You know, like, you just being there as a friend, as a comforter, as anything. And when that is just abruptly gone or tarnished in any way, it's kind of hard to mend those broken pieces in somebody's heart, you know?
Yeah. I think Grace is just a very I can do bad all by myself type of woman.
Until she met Anissa.
Well, I think even with Anissa, like, she's coming in, like, you know, ready to back off if she needs to. I just think Anissa is very resilient and very, like, well, keeps coming back to it. But I think Grace is smart and kind of has it under control. I'm interested to see what the pills were that she took.
Whatever it was, it stopped her skin from doing all that crazy stuff, because that was too much. Like, I was really going through, like, I'm really squeamish, I guess, because I just couldn't do it. Like,
yeah,
a lot of stuff that was happening, I'm itching thinking about it. I swear, like, it just make my skin crawl.
Well, for those of you who are curious about Grace, like, as far as in the comics, there's been a couple of parallel things that we've seen subtly that kind of would allude to who she was, that she is going to be like she was in the comics. For instance, in the comics, Grace is a bouncer for a nightclub in our...
And not a bookstore owner.
Well, she was just at the bookstore. She was a bartender, remember?
Oh, yeah, she was. She still is.
Mm-hmm. So there's like that. I mean, she kind of does a lot of things because she was also a server the other night. But yeah, she, you know, she's getting her coin. But her powers, her powers basically are she possesses metahuman levels of strength, heightened durability and endurance, and has generation and increased healing. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. If that is going to come into fruition on the show, I would like to see it. I want to see Grace as a metahuman, you know, badass, because she's super dope in the comics. Mm-hmm. She leads the Outsiders, which I think would be dope if Black Lightning decides to bring up the Outsiders, because that was where Grace and Anissa met in the comics. And I think maybe that the surviving pod babies, maybe that's who they're going to be, since they all have different powers that we're finding out.
Yeah, my whole villain army idea is out.
Yeah, there's...
Because they can't be villains messing around with Lynn.
They don't got time for that. So Anissa, after she, you know, just decides to scoop up the... First of all, the police of Freeland just be letting... people do whatever they want, because Anissa just... Yeah,
because at any crime scene or at any type of accident or anything, regular civilians are not to be touching evidence, are not to be picking up stuff, are not even supposed to be on the scene. But for the detectives and the paramedics and everybody that's sitting there trying to put this man together, to let her scoop his fluids out that came out of his face and jar it up and walk away with it, it's just like, all right, are y'all not doing your jobs? Because why was she able to do that?
Yeah, she just kind of took it, but...
Because what if she wasn't Anissa? What if she was somebody else who was going to do something with their fluid against you? Like...
But, you know, they got to make it fit the plot line, and I feel that. And
the fluid is alive. It moves.
Yeah, it was moving, which, I mean, we kind of saw later on in the episode because Deacon, before he dies, tells her, you know, and please go save the baby. And then Naya.
And Naya already knows. That's yeah. what he says.
And so she heads to South Freeland, and she gets pulled over by the police. And we're already like, oh, Lord. What's gonna happen? And come to find out, he's kind of like, he's like a guard of South Freeland, and we start to see him, his face move and kind of do the same thing.
His veins were like tweaking and moving around, looking like worms in his skin. It was
yeah. And like, so we also see, as she's looking around, like flashes of light, and it
was flashes of light, and it was people like circling her car.
Yeah, it was people running. It gave me very much the scene in Twilight where they like play baseball out in the field, if you've seen that, they're like running so fast. I was like, okay, anyway, mm-hmm. we're getting dramatic here. But Anissa, in true Black people fashion, is like, I gotta go.
And that's like, why she took that car right.
And that's why we survive horror movies, because we don't go past our means. When we hear something, we say, we're good.
Like, because he didn't even stop her to be stopping her for anything illegal. He talking about suspicion. Who does that?
Yeah.
Like, where that's at? Where that's at in the code of conduct of the law? Like,
you know what?
Like, do not be trying to pull me over for suspicion and speculation, trying to see where I'm. You don't pull me over to see where I'm going. Mind your business. Unless I'm breaking the law, do not flag me down, because I don't have time to deal with you and your mess.
We sure don't. But she, listen, she said, she gives them one, oh, hell nah, and she turns around and she's out. And we will have to wait till next week to see what happens. But there was so much that happened in this episode, so we have to hop into our OMBL of the week, which is our Oh My Black Lightning, which basically...
Oh, that scared me. maybe because I'm on edge, because Portia, this show is all really sorts creepy. Of jumpy
right now. but if you're a new listener and you don't know what OMBL is, it is basically our OMG moment of the week, our moment that made us go, I cannot believe that they just did that. So make sure you guys throw it in the chat, let us know. And I'll read a couple out. Portia, while they are typing it up, what's your OMBL moment?
I got a few.
All right, give them to us.
The Grace's skin thing, Deacon's skin thing, and the cop skin thing at the end.
Like, oh, that was nasty.
Every single one of those was really creepy to me. I was just like, OMBL, like, what am I watching? It was off the wall. And then my kind of practical one was this whole Tobias and Khalil evening dinner type of thing. I was just like,
it was a fool, lot.
You really gonna sit here and threaten this man over caviar? Like, you really gonna sit here and basically tell him that you gonna take him out at any moment? Why would somebody want to keep working for you? And I'm just like, OMBL. Like, and you think this is gonna be okay. And you already know he's strong. Mm-hmm. He gonna find a way to take you out.
Yep.
Wait.
My OMBL moments, I have two. One being the, like, only because it reflects so much of, like, current politics and whatnot, but the little, like, rebranding of a whole ass criminal. Like, Tobias Whale is not a good dude, but he does this anonymous air quotes,
donation to move the clinic out of Freeland because it's a bad place to somewhere far, far and away.
Yep, and the fact that it's so easily forgotten what he's done before and he's trying to bring back, I'm just like, I'm over it. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then my other OMBL moment is the Grace situation. Just because I'm excited for the possibilities of what that could be. But some of the people in our chat, BlackMagic99 says his OMBL moment was either Grace, possible power reveal, or Jefferson breaking down. That was really sad. Nicholas Kelly says that their OMBL moment was the fact that Lynn punched the hell out of Dr. Helga Jace. And their second was the Grace Amazon powers. Christina says that hers was definitely Thunder Grace love scene. And the second was the last scene with the Twilight vampires and the moving faces. She says, I hope they sparkle next episode. Let's see where else. Ivan said that his Owenbeal moment was the councilman calling Painkiller a bootleg Bob Marley. One time for Jamaica. And yeah, those are the Owenbeal moments that I'm seeing in the chat. They're basically all the same as those. But if you have, you know, Owenbeal moments, make sure to comment them. And we will check them out and we'll talk to you guys throughout the week. Do you have anything else to say before we hop into predictions?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. We didn't talk about the councilman, though.
We didn't. Let's hop into him really quick before we go into predictions.
He dirty.
He's
like, he's like Councilman Tate off power. Okay. Like, you out there in the forefront, you know, being in the press, you doing your thing, but you're building, you know, everything with dirty money. Mm. And, you know, and he thought he was working for Proctor, but now Proctor is out the window. And so now he worked for Tobias by default.
Yeah. Someone brought a very good point up in the chat and asked, where's Lala?
He blew up.
Oh, he did blow up, didn't he?
He had the bomb in his mouth and he pulled it and it blew up Proctor's building.
I thought he couldn't die, though.
Look, maybe out of there.
He might be dead. I don't know. But if you know for sure that's the answer, let us know. Because I actually forgot about Lala until just this moment in the chat. but yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm nervous. I feel like Tobias has his hand. He's going to get his hands in a lot of politicians' pockets, or the other way around.
He already in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
With his anonymous donation.
Like, yep.
That was a lot.
The rebranding of Tobias Whale begins.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous thing to have a criminal up in the government. The
White House. Mm. It's kind of symbolic, you know?
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
That's how that goes.
Oh, whatever. let's hop into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Somebody said in the chat that the actor who plays Lala actually has his own show now. So,
yeah,
he probably is.
He's on Love Is. But he was filming both at the same time.
Mm.
He was definitely doing both.
Who knows? What are you predicting for next week? Side note, guys, we will not be in the studios on Wednesday. AfterBuzz is closed, so as far as we know, we don't have a show next week. We're going to have to double up the week after, but we are trying to see if we can fit into the studio on Tuesday night.
So pray for us.
Yeah, make sure to pay attention to our social medias because we will tweet out officially when we'll be airing next week.
Yeah. Hopefully it's on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're fingers crossing for Tuesday.
Okay, I just really hope that Khalil finds a way to overthrow Tobias.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that he has enough of this being punked like he's, you know, somebody's B-word and grow some balls and, like, fight this man. Like, both of them got super strength. Like, even if you don't fight him, like, get strategic about the way you moving and the way you handling this man business. If you're going to be working up under him, learn the way so that you can be able to snatch it right from up under his face without him even knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, smarten up. I know that ain't real, but a real phrase, but you know what I mean. That's all I got.
let me see here. I definitely think Anissa and Jefferson are going to go back to South Freeland and kind of investigate and see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Probably in the daytime, you know.
And hopefully they suit up.
Yeah.
When they go, because
hopefully they can't
be out here playing games with these people with whose faces crawling.
These little creepy crawlies.
And fluids are pouring out of their pores.
Ooh. I'm trying to think. And I don't think this is the last of the pod baby deaths. I think we're going to get another hit eventually, or we're going to see them starting to wake up.
Mm. Oh, I forgot. I do think Gambi is going to return.
Yes.
He's definitely going to return, but then he's going to have to lay low officially. like on the low low because everybody think he dead. But Henderson is gonna know that Gambi isn't dead. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think
Jen and Khalil's gonna be a thing again.
Yeah.
It's like
they're teenagers. You know, they're teenagers. You fall into
because she feel away. He came and checked on her, gave his condolences. Mm-hmm. You know,
and he's all muscly and fine.
He fine.
Listen, girl, your resistance is strong, but his muscles are stronger. You know, so we're impressed, but we understand.
That's because she don't know.
But you guys let us know in the comments what your all's predictions are, what your own BL moments are, what you thought of Gamdar. Do you think Gambi's dead? Yes or no? I will be putting a poll on my Instagram. And if you want to check that out, my name's Drew Jones. You can find me on all the things at OK Drew J. I will put the poll up right after this show. Portia, where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere at Portia Carter. And don't forget, like I said, 911 on Mondays at 7.
All right, guys, we will see you all soon. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we don't see y'all Tuesday.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.